Let's be honest, Jesus didn't call his disciples to save Rome. He called them to save the people who were part of the Roman Empire, and so many more. And thus, as our culture crumbles all around us, we have to make a decision, and it's a decision of purpose. Welcome to the final installment in this three-part series entitled, What Now? I'm your host, Mike Powers, and I'm here today with great news. God's not dead, and Jesus' mission hasn't changed. As we open our Bibles to Matthew 28, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith wants to remind us all what we know so well. We are on the mission of Jesus to reach the lost in our world in our day. Let's listen in as Pastor Matt shares the five directives we all must focus on as our culture crumbles all around us.
If you have your Bibles, would you take them out to Matthew chapter 28? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your blessing and the way you take care of us and minister to us. We pray that we would surrender our hearts as we sang in the song. And Father God, that we would listen to your heart. That we would actually be children of God in our actions and our attitudes as well as in our profession. Lord, we pray now that you would be blessed and have been blessed by the worship that we've given to you. And we look now to you to speak to us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you for a third and final time. God bless you. Glad you're here. And looking forward to opening the word today. You know, as our nation crumbles all around us, we're asking that question, what do we do? What do we do? You know, some people are like Chicken Little and they're running with their heads cut off. Practically, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And we've talked about how in the first century was much worse than it is today. It's just that we're going through the transition. And we're having to understand that our nation's becoming more and more secular, more and more pagan, less and less biblical. And so we're struggling with that. And so what do? Well, we go back to the Bible and we find out what do? And what did Jesus tell them to do? Jesus was very clear. He told them that it was all about the mission. It's all about the mission. A lot of us forgot that it was about the mission. You know, some people, they think that Christianity is about coming here and gathering and worshiping and then going home and that's it. And they've done their thing for God for the week. And that's not true at all. This is kind of the culmination of your faith for the week, where you get a chance to come and sing, where you get a chance to come and lift up your voice to Him, come and tell Him how wonderful He is. But this is the end of, this is kind of the icing on the cake. This isn't the cake itself. In fact, I was, this week as I was thinking about it, I was overwhelmed by the reality that the devil wants us to get the wrong mission in our minds. He wants us to believe that our job is to save America. And so lots of times he'll get Christians to get behind a certain politician or a certain political party, and you'll see it on Facebook a lot, where somebody's trying to cram their political beliefs down your throat in the guise of Christianity. And I have one guy I'm thinking of in mind who's always trying to cram this stuff down my throat and then quoting Jesus in the process. Well, don't quote Jesus to me if you're not ready for an all-day quote, because I've read him like, you know, 80 times, so I know from cover to cover in the Gospels, so I pretty much know him. Yeah, I know what he says, and we got to be careful not to do that. That's the politics. We're here to save Americans. We're here to save people. The country comes, goes. Did you notice that the countries that were around in biblical days aren't around anymore? Did you notice that? Countries come, countries go. People are eternal. Your job, my job, is to reach people for Christ. And if America gets turned around in the process, hallelujah. That's wonderful. But our job is to reach people. In fact, I was reminded this week as I was reading scripture, and I thought it would be good if we all read it together. Would you read this with me, please? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body doesn't belong to me. My spirit doesn't belong to me. Simon was talking about his blood pressure, and I was under a little conviction there thinking, I've got to answer for how I steward my body. I'm going to have to give an account for how I took care of the body God gave me. Some of you want to fix it, you know, plastic surgery, or alter it with all sorts of, you know, spackle and plaster and whatever else you use to fix it, you know. And God says, I made it the way I want it. For a long time, I didn't like the fact that I had to wear glasses. Have you noticed all the vain people who have to go from, they have to wear glasses, so they go to what? Contacts, so that they don't look like they need glasses. But they do that, they say, so it helps their vision. But we all know they're just vain. They don't like to wear, or they can't find their glasses. I have a friend who has 14 pairs of them, it seems like. He's got them everywhere. And he just sets them down, and he can't remember, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? And so he's got to have a whole bunch of them. You know, either you're absent-minded or something, but that's not, it's my body, it's your body. And by the way, my spirit. We always emphasize spirit, we forget about body. And we're supposed to glorify God. Now, how in the world would we actually do that? Jesus, in the last days, the passage we've read in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus in the last days was actually transferring the work that he started to the fisherman, to the zealot. He was transferring it to the disciples. He was going home. And a lot of times in the church, we don't understand this. We think if we hire a pastor, it's his job to do the work. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing could be further from the truth. Now go ahead, tell him. I'll wait. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, the pastor comes, the pastor goes. You are responsible. I'm responsible as an individual to do the mission of God. And so as we're talking about that, that's what Jesus was talking about. A few years ago, in fact, it's been almost 20 years ago, I got this key fob, and I absolutely love it. It came from Nike, and I'll bet you know what it says, even though you might not be able to read it from where you're seated. What do you think it says? It says, just do it. And it always reminds me, it's been on here, it's kind of, you know, I've had to clean it a few times, it's kind of, but it reminds me, this will be on my key fob till the day I die. Or remind me, just do it. What? The mission. You see, Jesus didn't save us so we could be happy. Jesus didn't save us so we could be wealthy. Jesus didn't even save us so we could be healthy. Jesus saved us to accomplish the mission. He has a mission. And you know what the mission is. There are all these friends of yours around, all of these friends of mine around, who need the same thing that we needed. Think back for a minute. Who told you about the love of Jesus? Think for a minute. Just take a moment. Some of you have to go back in the dusty files in the brain. It goes back there, you go back there, go, oh man, somebody needs to clean this place up back here. Some of you, it's not been that long. Who told you about the love of Jesus? You see, if somebody hadn't told you about the love of Jesus, you would have never have received Him, known Him, enjoyed the benefits of walking with Him. Now the question is, who's going to tell others about the love of Jesus? It's our job. It's our mission to reach out. It's our mission to reach others. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're going to glorify God. We're going to actually reach out. We're going to reach out to other people. Now, in this passage, there are five directives. Very simple. Jesus, remember, what's he doing? He's saying, I'm leaving. It's all yours. They were all excited. They thought they were going to get a king. They didn't get a king. They got a empty space. Jesus left. And so as Jesus leaves, he's going to tell them several things. First thing he's going to tell them to do is do the mission with power. If you're filling in the blanks, do the mission with power. A lot of people don't share their faith because they are powerless Christians. They don't have any power. Have you seen the Energizer Bunny commercials? You know, bing, 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 bing. Most Christians run around going, They're just stuck. How do I know? I used to be stuck. I'm off of caffeinated beverages for life. In fact, I've been drinking decaf and I'm realizing that's too much caffeine. You see, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I don't need caffeine. You know, this new generation, the young generation, they're all into Monster drink. I just die laughing. What a batch of losers. I'm telling you, come on, Monster drink. You got to have four of those to get going in the morning? Really? Four? I'm a guy. Yeah, it's true. I talk to 20-somethings. Oh, I got to have two just to make it to the kitchen. That's scary. Come on, folks. Filled with life. The Spirit of life. Is it dwelling inside of you? Do you have the power of God radiating in you? Is it pulsating through you? You see, this is what the Scripture says. Read it with me, please. Jesus was talking about this in verse 18, and he said what? Read with me. Jesus came and told the disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. The word for authority is dunamis, from whence we get the English word dynamite. And if you've ever lit the fuse on some dynamite, you know that it has a little bit of power. What are you blowing up in your neighborhood? For Jesus, what are you blowing up amongst your friends? You know, it's real easy. I tell my students at seminary all the time, you know how to get a room empty real fast? Walk into a big room and just say, I love Jesus. You can blow up the room just like that. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. But not only is dynamite used for destruction, but there's also the ability to use it to carve. Melody and I drove up the coast Friday. We went up through Malibu and up to Oxnard. And we go, there's that one point just before you get to Point Magoo where they had to literally empty, they had to just cleave, sever, dig a great big hole and cut the mountain in half so they could put the road through. Because my car doesn't drive on water yet. And yours doesn't either. Although I did see one on Facebook, really cool. Okay, I'd like to have that car. And then, in fact, I saw one yesterday that not only drives, but it flies. I want that one. I want both of them. I want both of them in one, so I don't have to have two cars. Because you know what happens. If I have the flying car, I'm going to need the boat car. And if I have the boat car, I'm going to need the flying car. It just works that way, right? Never happy, are we? And so, they took the power of dynamite and they blew a hole through the mountain and they made a road. God has power. Jesus Christ has been given all the power in heaven and in earth. You could talk to an astronomer and you could find out amazing things about the power of a sun, which is nothing to God. You could find out the amazing power that there is in gravity. Have you ever noticed that gravity always works? If you trip, where do you wind up? On the ground. It always works. Amazing power. God has been given all power. And he tells you, harness the power. Use my power. And we don't have time to go into that right now. But if you don't know how to do that, let me just encourage you to start reading through the Gospels. Reading through the Gospels, a couple chapters a day. And discover what Jesus says. And when you get through the Gospels, read into Acts. And then into Romans. And by the time you get to Romans, you'll get to, just write it down, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Power and faith are linked. Well, you need to have some power. You need to use faith. You need to walk with God. You need to trust Him. I told you about our engine, but our car would overheat after we got a brand new engine. $2,000 was given to us so that we could have a new engine. But the car was still overheating. And I went, oh, this isn't good. So I took it back to the mechanic. And I said to the mechanic, it's still overheating. My wife wants to kill you. She had to have the windows open when we were on our little vacation in San Diego. And I showed him a picture of the overheating, you know, where the little... In my car, it used to go like this, right up to the red zone. You know, when it gets to the red zone, shut it off. Just shut it off. Because if it stays in the red zone, you're going to need a new engine. Well, I had a new engine. It was still getting hot. So he took out the radiator. And it looked like somebody, one of those kids in the neighborhood, they didn't do this, but they took a brush of glue and they made a great big gluey spot on the radiator and then threw a whole bunch of fibrous material like black fiberglass onto it. And the radiator couldn't get any air, and so it would, even on a brand new engine, it couldn't breathe. And so it would overheat. And as soon as he replaced, by the way, for free, as soon as he replaced my radiator with a brand new one, we took it out for a drive, as I said. It's so cold, my wife, who always wants the air conditioning on full force, said, let's turn down the air conditioning. It's so cold that it doesn't hardly, I mean, you can't even tell if it's running. It's so, why am I telling you that? Because you and I have stuff clogged up in our souls. And we aren't breathing faith because we haven't been opening the Word of God. And we haven't been believing God. And simply because God said it, I'm going to step across the line and I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do what He said. And when you do that, God gives you power like you can't believe. But the reality is, Jesus also told us that we're supposed to do this work of His, this mission, without delay. In fact, did you notice what's right up here at the top of the platform? Can you read that above the screen? What does it say? Everybody read it with me.
Go ye therefore.
And look at the passage, Matthew 28:19. In fact, did you notice the therefore? If you have power, get moving. Get moving. Don't delay. I like Groupon. Does anybody use Groupon? Can I see your hands? If you don't use Groupon, you're paying too much money for almost everything. Groupon. Melody and I, we use it all the time. We use it for going to the restaurant. We just love Groupon. And Groupon's so much fun. But the other day, I was going to get some tickets. We were going to go to San Diego, I said. And so I wanted to go to the Air Museum in San Diego. And I said to my wife, I sent her the link in an email because she wasn't there. And I just said, I'd like to go to this while we're in San Diego. And she got back to me and I read it the next day. And she said, sure. And so I clicked the link and in Groupon it says, expired. That offer was gone. Have you thought about the number of people that have stepped into eternity this week? And the offer of God's love has expired. Now we like to believe that only old people, 90, 100, 110 die. But that's not the way it is. On the freeway, in the back pool, on a trail in the mountains, or just in their beds. People die every day. Therefore, we got to get to the mission. We've got to get to the mission. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. You and I have got to get involved in simply doing the will of God. Sometimes I see things and I see obstacles where God sees opportunities. Every time you have, just write this down in the white space. Every time you see an obstacle, God sees an opportunity. Every time. God creates obstacles just to see if you can jump over them. He doesn't give you obstacles you can't jump over. Jump around. Dig under. God can help you. And so a lot of the times it's me. A lot of the times I'm the guy who has the problem. James, the brother of Jesus, said it this way. Would you read it with me, please? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Lots of times as a pastor, I talk to people and I'm amazed. They say, you know, God seems far away. Well, what does James say? Whose fault is that? Ours. We moved. How do you get God close to you? Have you ever noticed the Bible's pretty clear? It's not very complicated. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, it's profound sometimes. If you feel far away from your spouse, what should you do? Here's my spouse. If I feel far away, I should probably get closer. Why can't we think when we open the Bible? If God seems far away, we probably should get closer. The easiest way is pick up His book and start listening to Him. And then talk to Him back. And have a conversation. I forget this all the time. But I need to get going because people are lost. People are dying. People, the gift of eternal life is expiring in people's lives. They're living past their shelf date. And then they expire. I need to win them to Christ. Now, when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about how important it is just to do it. I need to talk more about Jesus. You need to talk more about Jesus. You need to stick Him in more often in your conversations. Has He done anything for you lately? Has He done anything for you this week? You know, sometimes we talk about, there was a lady, Melody and I, I was a youth pastor, and it was back in 1980, and I remember this lady at, every Sunday night we'd have testimony time, and she'd sit over there, and she would always give the same testimony. She'd always talk about the day she was saved. The trouble was, she was friends with Methuselah. She was old. In fact, dirt was new compared to her. She was old. You see, and finally I went up to her and I said, Bernadine. She's in heaven now, so I can tell the story. I said, Bernadine. So is her son, so I can tell the story. Bernadine, hasn't Jesus done anything for you lately? And she went on for 20 minutes talking to me about all the things that God had done for her that week. I said, can you do that next Sunday? Tell that story. And she would. She would tell a story then every week. People got all excited. But you need to tell what Jesus has done this week. Just do it. Don't quit. Don't quit with your relatives. Don't quit. You know, they say, well, we don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. Sorry, I don't want to hear your stuff either, but I listen. See, I really don't care if you're a Laker fan. Until they get some real players, I don't want to hear about it. My neighbor, he's a Laker fan, and I'm wearing a Clipper shirt. He said, you need a new shirt. I said, you need a new team. You see, I listen to a lot of stuff I don't want to from relatives and friends, and they're just going to have to listen to a little bit of my Jesus stuff. Now, I'm not going to do it where I'm going to say, you know, you're a jerk if you don't listen to Jesus. I just have to talk about the wonderful benefits. Like the car. Like the new engine, for free. Like the radiator, for free. I could tell you stories about how God gives money. I could tell you stories about how God gives things. I could tell you story and story and story and story. But you just need to tell one. By the way, don't tell all the stories at once. They get tired of that. But just slip it in. We had a great thing happen this week. What happened? Well, you know, we've been in need of this. And I just asked the Lord for it, and boom, it came. And then go on. Talk about the Lakers if you want to, and how bad they are, and how much you pray that they get somebody who can actually play, and all of that. Whatever you're going to talk about, just keep right on moving. I said there were five directives. Here's the third one. The third one is, we need to do God's Word with purpose. With purpose. We need to do God's Word with purpose. What are we supposed to do with God's work? What are we supposed to do? The Bible's very clear in this passage. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I spoke here 4 years ago. Where's the disciples? Where's the disciples? We're supposed to be making disciples, not sitting in the pews. You know, well, you know what happened was, these are really benches, right? If you were to buy them in a furniture store, you wouldn't call them a pew. You'd say, I need a bench. But we've sat so long in these. You know, we've taught you, the pastors have taught you, sit, soak in the Word. But the trouble is, over time, you sour, and then you begin to smell, and you turn the bench into a smell, so we turn the title from bench to pew. We're not supposed to be sitting on the premises, we're supposed to be reaching our relatives and friends for Christ. I gave you 11 for heaven. It's just a little simple list to write down. Family and friends, maybe co-workers or students that need Jesus. And start praying for them every day. Try the ones around your house. If you don't know their names, did you know that the average American does not know the names of their neighbors, and they've lived there 10, 15, 20 years? Get to know their names and start praying for them every day. Just stick this where, you know, maybe on the bathroom mirror. Just stick it up there and start praying for them every time you go into the bathroom. And those of you who go into the bathroom at least once a day, hey, you'll pray for your neighbors. You pray for your family. Just do it, but you need to make a disciple. Now, how do you make a disciple? Three steps. Here we go. Ready? Right fast. First, we have to be on the move. You can't make a disciple if you sit all the time. Can't make a disciple in church? It's not possible. Can't do it. We come to worship. We don't come to make disciples. We need to be on the move. What does it say? Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Get going. By the way, how many of you are still moving? If you haven't moved for a while, do this. See if you got a pulse. Am I still alive? A friend of mine says he opens up the newspaper. The first thing he does is go to the obituary column. He's in a small town. He says, I look in the obituary column. If my name's not there, I get up and go. Okay? Wow. Okay? But you got to get moving. Do you have some friends? Do you have some relatives? You just the people you talk to all the time. Second, you need to make a disciple. That's the thing. Our ultimate goal is to make a disciple. Now, you know what a disciple is because all of you took a math course in school. And the word for disciple in the Greek, I don't do this very often, but here, listen now, is mathetes. Now, you know math, right? That's when you try to balance your checkbook and give up because the principles of math never move. You know, if you had $10 in your checking account and you spent 20, it's still negative 10. Doesn't matter what the circumstance was. You can't make the rules of math change. That's what a disciple is. You can't make their lives change from what Jesus Christ said. They just do what he says. No matter what's happening around them. Remember, while the nation is crumbling, we're the only ones going to be holding on to truth. We're just going to do it no matter what. People are going to be happy about it? Sometimes no. I have a friend who's always yelling, the government needs to pay for this, and the government needs to pay for that. And finally I said, where's all this money coming from the government? Oh, it's coming from the billionaires. Yeah, right, like that's ever happened. Who usually gets to pay for all this stuff? We do. Yeah, would be nice if that, okay, that would be nice. Theory doesn't work that way. They'll find a loophole. They've got lawyers. Do we have lawyers? How many of you have lawyers? See, we don't have lawyers. That's the problem. And so they'll take it from us. So I said, wouldn't it be just easier to live on less and budget what you have? Now, I've been doing that for 5 years. Melanie and I have been doing that for 5 years. 5 years without a full-time job. 5 years without a full-time job. We've been doing that. And God's taking care. Do I look like I'm shrinking away to infinite nothing? No, I'm not having a problem. You make disciples. You've got to have some discipline, in other words. And third, our area of operation is all the nations. Literally, filling in the blank, all the ethnicities on the earth. All the ethnicities. You see, the Bible, Jesus always said we were supposed to reach people who aren't like us. You're supposed to reach people that aren't like you. If the only people I reach are white people, I'm in sin in LA County. If the only people you reach are brown, you're in sin. Because this is LA County. How many of you work with somebody who isn't your racial nationality? Anybody? Yeah, sure. So, hey, look at that. If I'm not trying to reach them, how many of you are married in a family where not everybody's the same race? Oh, look, there you go. Somebody to reach. You see, we're supposed to reach all ethnicities. Now, all of them have come here. Of the 190 plus nations on the planet, did you know that 187 of them are in the LA public schools? So they're all here. We don't even have to go too far. They're in our neighborhoods. They're in our neighborhoods. Just reach out to them. Reach them with the love of Jesus. Tell them about the benefits. Just tell them about the benefits. And do it with a plan. Do it with a plan. Now the plan's pretty simple. You share Jesus and you tell them about Christ. And then you say, there's this point in life where you have to just... I'm from the Midwest, okay? Sometimes those little Midwesternisms, they sneak in. Here's one of them. We say you got to fish or cut bait. You're going to have to get committed. Step across the line. And so pretty soon, they say, well, we like this Jesus. We say, okay, it's all in or nothing. How many of you ladies would like to have a husband who came home 5 nights out of the week and spent 2 with his mistress? See, neither would Jesus. Or the bride of Christ. Neither would Jesus. He's not into that. He wants all or nothing. He wants all of you or nothing. He wants all of me or nothing. And so pretty soon you got to call him to that. Call them to that. I have a plan. You see, when you're willing to do that, we call that step baptism. Make a public declaration. Are you sold out for Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you know everything? No. But I made a decision. I got married 36 years ago. Do you think I was more in love with her then or more in love with her now? Do you think I knew more then or I know more now? I know more now. I'm more in love with her now. But what did I say at the altar 36 years ago? What did I say? I do. That's what Jesus wants. And that's called baptism. Make that public declaration. The second one is Jesus commands us to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. So that's why I tell people, read the New Testament. Do what Jesus said. I don't even understand some of the stuff Jesus tells me to do. I just do it. Guess what? After I do it, I understand it. Any of you ever teenagers at one point in your life? Do you remember when you knew everything? And your parents were idiots? Do you remember that? Okay. And then you grew up and found out that having no knowledge, you weren't the center of wisdom in the universe, right? You figured that out. That's the way it is with faith. Is you start off and you don't know anything. You might think you do, but you don't. But as you open the Word of God and you read the Word of God, you find out, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. And pretty soon God becomes this amazingly wise God. You and I are supposed to do that. You need to do God's work with His presence. One of the things that's most important when it comes to faith is to remember that you're walking with somebody. See, I've been married for over 36 years. I walk with this woman all the time. When I'm in the other room, my desk, her desk, are almost side by side, but there's a wall in between. She's in one room and I'm in another. And so we love Facebook chat. You see, we could go, what do you think? I like it. What about this? No, I don't want to do that. But that neighbors would probably wonder about us pretty quickly, right? And the cat would run around like scared. Nah! So what do? We just use Facebook chat. She's right there. I'm just talking with her. My students will tell you that I'm constantly talking with my wife on Facebook chat. I'll pick up the phone. I'll drive down, go to work. I'll talk to her 4 times a day on the phone. I just saw her 10 minutes ago, but I like her. You see, because even though I get a little distance between us, I'm still in her presence. But I know Christians who haven't talked to Jesus for days, weeks, and then they wonder why they have a power failure and why their friends aren't coming to Jesus. Just talk to Him all the time. In fact, look what He said. Would you read it with me, please? And be sure of this. I'm with you always. Always? Even to the end of the age. Now, I know what He means. He means all the way until He returns. But you could just tweak that a little bit. Remember, these are the last days. These are your last days. And be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of your age. He's with you, but circle the word always. In your notes, just circle the word always. He's with you always. He's with you always here in worship. He's here with you always when you're at work. He's with you always when you're eating, when you're overeating. A guy was telling me that he was going to leave his wife and he was going to take another woman. And I said, you do know that Jesus goes with you, right? Into the bedroom. That was it. That whole idea just crumbled just like that. He's with you always. Do you know when you got problems and the boss is screaming their faces off at you? He's with you there. He's listening to every word. My Bible says repeatedly in multiple locations that He listens to it and He's just waiting to go, shut up. Now, I know that wasn't a very godly word, but basically in the Hebrew, that's what it says. I'm a Star Trek guy, and there's that one point where Captain Kirk's on the planet that's the Genesis planet, and is breaking up, and Lord Krug, he's trying to save his life, and he's going to fall off the cliff. He's got a hold of him, and as he starts to pull him up, Lord Krug's trying to pull him down in. And finally, Captain Kirk just takes his boot and he kicks him in the face and said, I have had enough of you. Did you know that that's the way God feels about your enemy sometimes? I've had enough of you. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that he is going to make sure that he troubles the people that trouble you. He's always with you in good and bad and terrible times. He's with you. Don't ever forget it. He's only a conversation away. He's in your presence. And if he feels far, Remember what James, the brother of Jesus, said? Draw near to God. You know how I get my wife's attention? I just call her by name. How do you get God's attention? Just call Him by name. Lord, help me. When Peter was drowning after walking on the water, what did he say? Lord Jesus! There it is, right there, folks. There's your clue. There's my clue. So this week, would you do me a favor? Would you put their names down on the list? Would you pray for them? 11 for heaven. Would you ask God to give you an opportunity just to tell a little bit of your story? I was worried about this bill and God took care of it. My wife, every once in a while, we'll be praying about money, and every once in a while she'll just say, I don't understand. I always balance the checkbook, and she does, by the way, very well. But we have an extra $100 in the bank. I know where that comes from. I read that story in the Bible. God is always with you. Are your relatives going to be with you? Are your relatives and friends going to be with you in eternity? Heaven is real, but so is hell. Even to the end of your age, He's with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your blessing. Lord, I'm always amazed at the things you do. I shouldn't be by this point in our walk together, but I'm always amazed at the way that you care and the way that you take care, the way that you work in us and for us and around us when we simply stay close to you. May we be men and women of great faith, even when this society crumbles around us. May we be the people standing up and saying, nothing to worry about. God gives peace. Jesus gives peace. All you have to do is live His life. Live it His way. And Father, as we share those blessings, those benefits with our family and friends, and we pray for their hearts to turn. Lord, we don't have to be angry. We don't have to be condemnatory. We don't have to do anything but love them. And Lord, ask you to open their hearts. And one day, when we're sitting in heaven, at the end of our age, we'll confidently be waiting for them to arrive, because we've had the privilege of sharing you, of them making a faith commitment to you, and of walking with you as a disciple of yours. Lord, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor, Lord Jesus, of sharing and making disciples. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
And with that, Dr. Smith wraps up this timely and challenging message from the Word of God. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you will choose to flesh out the words of the Bible in your daily life as a result of listening today. Would you help us spread the word? Could you take just a moment and contact a friend and share the link to this message and encourage them to listen as well? Thank you. Christmas is right around the corner. With Christmas only a couple of months away, we know you would like to get your shopping done early and give a meaningful gift this year to the ones you love. Dr. Matthew Lee Smith has written two daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement in the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity in every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles and Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel on the Eagles and Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in Commerce, California at the First Baptist Church and edited by Melody Smith in La Puente, California. And now until next time, we're praying that you would be filled with the hope of God so that you can stand firm in the midst of our crumbling culture.